since my baby left me. Well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be just a lonely baby. I'll be just a lonely, I'll be so lonely, they could die. Tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on Lonely Street, they'll never look back. And think you're so, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely, well, they're so lonely, and they could die.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
If your baby leaves you,
it's Mr. P, Elvis Presley. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. The Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us on this Wednesday, February the 21st. Boy, we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Ella Zwick, she is a former Tampa Bay domestic abuse hotline, helpline advocate. Did I say that right? Anyway, she is trying to establish a domestic abuse hotline, mainly for men, here in Tampa Bay. We're going to tell you all about it when we talk with Ella, so stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump, he goes on, I think it was Fox News, he did a town hall in South Carolina last night. He says he'll debate Joe Biden anytime, and by the way, any kind of a moderator. He is anxious to talk with Joe Biden up there. So we'll talk about that as well. And speaking about Joe Biden, a spiraling border crisis has Biden's approval ratings plummeting once again. And the nation's oldest gun manufacturer up and leaves New York for the Peach State. Question is why? 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 We will tell you all about that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I have never found a better place to get a great haircut than in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Andrew's Master Barbershop, just north of State Road 580 on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And if you've got any kind of a need when it comes to trees, I don't care if you want trees, you want tree removal, you want stump grinding, you want tree enhancement, ArborLife Tree Service does it all. Great place, great price. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, lots going on. It's not looking good in Ukraine right now. Russia seems to be advancing. House Speaker Mike Johnson here at home facing growing pressure from both sides of the aisle to deliver some kind of plan for Ukraine. By the way, this is 2 years now, 2 years since Russia invaded the Ukraine. It was February 24th in 2022. So the topic has become a lightning rod within the Republican Party, with a growing contingent of GOP lawmakers voicing skepticism about our involvement. Some have gone as far as threatening Johnson's leadership role if they held a vote on the Ukraine aid. So what are they going to do? Now, most of those Republican lawmakers that want to pull out are populist-type lawmakers. Mainstream Republicans and Democrats still argue it's in our best interest to help Ukraine remain independent of the villainous Vladimir Putin, and that helping to defeat him is critical to a wider conflict in Europe. So what is one to do? I think we have to wake up Joe Biden and ask him as well, do we not? Speaking about Joe Biden, remember that FBI informant that's now been charged with being a liar? He was talking about Hunter Biden and Hunter's ties to Ukraine and payoffs to both Joe and Hunter Biden, a former FBI informant charged with lying about a multi-million dollar bribery scheme involving the Bidens between a Ukraine energy company and the Biden family. He's getting in deep trouble right now. In court filings, prosecutors said that Alexander Smirnov admitted during an interview before his arrest last week that, quote, officials associated with Russian intelligence were involved in passing a story about the president's son, Hunter Biden. They said the Smirnov's contacts with Russian officials were recent and extensive, and said Smirnov had planned to meet with one official during an upcoming overseas trip. So it's beginning to sound like this guy was fibbing about the Biden. That's not going to take the Bidens off the hook. I got two words for you if you think it's going to take the Bidens off the hook. Tony Bobulinski. It won't take them off the hook. But prosecutors have urged the judge to keep Smirnov behind bars while awaiting trial on this whole thing. And he happens to hold both U.S. and Israeli citizenship. And here's the charge: falsely reporting to the FBI in 2020 that executives associated with Burisma, that's the Ukraine energy company, paid Hunter and Joe Biden $5 million apiece in either 2015 or 2016. So we'll see where that, you know that the Democrats are going to jump on that one, right? I'm going to make sure you know that the guy's a big time liar, not like Joe and his hun. And more bad news for Biden on the approval ratings. He continues to be plagued with abysmal ratings concerning his handling of immigration. According to a new Monmouth poll that was released yesterday, 26%, just 26% of Americans approve of Biden's immigration work. 76% disagree with it. If my math is right, that means 102%. One of those figures might be wrong. Anyway, say it's 74 to 26 or whatever, it's still bad. When broken down by party affiliation, slightly over half the Democrats, 54%, 54% of Democrats approve of Biden's immigration plans and policy. But only 21% of independents, and get this, Ed, 2% of Republicans, 98% of Republicans don't like what he's doing in the border.
You know, bad news just follows him everywhere. You see him trying to get on Air Force One yesterday?
I did not. I read about it.
Well, poor guy. They started using the short stairs.
Yes, I know.
And he tripped twice going up those.
Poor guy.
So I think now, from now on, is you get the luggage ramp, and you belt one of those child car seats onto the ramp, and you just have him kind of back into it, sit down.
Yep.
And
it's like that stairlift commercial.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the short stairs is only about 16 steps away.
Yeah.
Was able to count it. So he missed two of them.
Wow. You can land on his head.
Yeah. And then he does that, I'm looking like I'm jogging.
Yeah, the couple of quick steps.
Yeah, whenever you were drunk and fell down, you would pop up like, I did that on purpose.
Yes.
You know, I stuck the landing.
Yes. Indeed. Ed, you're a funny man sometimes. You're right about that. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, Ella Zwick, now she's a former Tampa Bay domestic abuse helpline advocate. She is trying to establish a domestic abuse hotline that caters mainly to men.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. I tell her every day.
The This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. It's a bright and crisp day here in Tampa Bay. And we are delighted to have Ella Zwick join us. She is a former domestic abuse helpline advocate, has a lot of experience in working with people that have had, and you know, most, let's be honest, most of the people that are being victimized that way are women. But she would like to start a domestic abuse helpline with an emphasis on battered men. Ella, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning.
Yes, thank you so much for being with us. I found Ella contacted me and mentioned this program that she wanted to start, and I found it very intriguing, and I wanted to have her on. She's got a very good background in helping people. She was a volunteer at the Domestic Abuse Helpline for Men and Women for 8 years, and recently joined the Leadership Lab. It's a premier authority in management, founded, I think John Gary founded it. So tell us a little bit, Ella, about why you would like to start a helpline program that emphasizes battered men.
Well, it's when you look at these websites for contacting domestic abuse help shelters, what do you see? You typically see women, butterflies, flowers, purple, and pink. Do you think that a battered man would feel really welcome to contact such a...
Absolutely not. You're right
facility?
About that. Yep. Yeah, I
and
agree.
So the way that I see it is they need a helpline to say, hey, you know, you go to the shelter, that they'll help you. I'm doing the outreach that they should be doing.
Yeah. Are there any, in Tampa Bay, and you're, I believe in St. Petersburg, are there any current battered men's outlets like that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's one here in Pinellas County. It has 5 beds. And the way that I calculated it, this is from a federal statistic from its, she spells it TJADEN and Tones, 1998. So it's a federal statistic. It's cited in the Violence Against Women's Act survey. And it found that about 40% of domestic violence victims are men.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That's higher than I would have expected, to be honest
with
you.
It's a lot. And there are other studies that are worldwide. One that if I remember correctly, it's in Scotland. It has a similar statistic.
Now the truth is, and let me ask you this, Ella.
Yeah.
That most men, even if the helpline center doesn't have all the butterflies and the pink dragons or whatever. Yeah. They don't want to come forward. They don't want anybody to know. They want to keep it a secret. They don't. They're intimidated to talk to anybody. And particularly, yeah, they call in. And I would think a lot of times it's a woman that answers the phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's gotten better. There are three shelters that I can think of out of the. How many are the shelters and domestic violence shelters here in the country? I think it used to be 2,000.
Wow.
Yeah. There are three that do outreach to battered men, and one was in Los Angeles. This was like, I think, 20 years ago. And then there's another in, I think it's Dallas. And then there's one in Arkansas, and I believe it's called Batesville.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular one anywhere in the country that seems to be, say, head and shoulders above the others, you know, really seems to, I mean, one that you can focus on to help you establish one?
I contacted one in Los Angeles, and they said that, the quote, they'd love to collaborate with me.
Good.
And this is the one that I mentioned before in Los Angeles, so, They'd help me, and right now I'm in the process of looking for that board of directors, and so that's a separate issue. I'm also looking for web design, informational technology, fundraising, legal matters, public relations, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you're sort of just on the beginning stages of of doing this. We're talking with Ella Zwick. She's a former domestic abuse helpline advocate who wants to establish in the Tampa Bay area a helpline setup that emphasizes battered men and makes them feel comfortable enough to be involved in something like this. Now, Ella, I understand you'd like to name the helpline Earl's Helpline for Battered Men and Women. So you're not just focusing on men, you will indeed also include women, but it would be in memory of somebody named Earl Silverman. Can you tell us his background?
Earl Silverman was a battered man in Calgary, Canada. I think it was Edmonton. And I forget how many years ago, he had two tanks of propane. And he was ready to kill himself, and the phone rang at that moment. So he stopped, and that turned his life around. And for a while he ran a battered man's shelter out of his home.
So a phone call from somebody that was trying to help him, was that what happened when he took the phone call, or what? Do you know?
I don't know. It turned his life around. I think it was just a coincidence, you know, that the phone rang and it stopped him.
Maybe providential?
I'm sorry?
Maybe it was providential.
I don't know what that means.
In other words, divinely inspired, providential, providence.
Maybe.
Yeah.
maybe.
Wow.
He had a battered men's shelter out of his house. And the Canadian governments, both provincial and federal, absolutely refused to fund his little shelter. And about 10 years ago, I look on the internet on my email, and I saw that he really did kill himself.
He did? After all of that?
Yeah, he did. Right.
My goodness.
He couldn't get funding. He was in financial ruins.
Was he a battered? A battered spouse, or what was the deal?
Yes, he was. I spoke with him twice. Once was about a month before he died,
What was his temperament or demeanor when you talked to him?
He sounded down, but I wasn't really worried about it. But this was a month before he died. He was really sweet. He was soft-spoken.
Oh, that was so sad. I can understand your feelings. It sounds like you have a lot of compassion.
Thank you.
When you have had, in your experience, when somebody calls in, and let's say, you know, they're really being, whether it's a man or a woman, it's really been tough for them, and they don't know where to go. I mean, is there, usually, do you just try to, is the advice, well, look, the first thing is, like, you've got to get out of the environment, or, I mean, is there any kind of template for how you respond?
My way of doing it is just listen. A lot of it is just they want to be heard, and sometimes that of men has gotten better, but at that time there was no place really for them to go other than homeless shelters or the streets, and the streets aren't safe, so they'd stay home with their abuser. And just listen to them, and they calm down. They feel a little better. Tell them that if they ever needed someone to talk to, that we're there for them, and call again.
When it's a man, is it more mental abuse by a woman, or more physical, or a little bit of both? You know what I mean?
From what I remember from the statistics, it's more mental. Mental and emotional abuse, and physical and their abusers, that would be one door to open up towards physical abuse. If they became physically abusive, they'd wear them down, and then they'd start physically abusing
women. You're talking about
mm-hmm.
how about
yeah,
the
that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The reverse? I would suspect. There's more violence when it's a man abusing a woman, needless to say. That seems to be the case. Or is that also more mental cruelty to a woman than physical?
Well, the statistics hide it. That there was a study done by Fiebert back in, I think it was the 70s maybe, Martin Fiebert. And he looked at 200... studies that found, and this is from peer-reviewed journals, this is the gold standard, 200 studies found that women half the time initiate domestic violence into the relationship. And this is simple, silly stuff.
Half
like
the
maybe
time.
A bitch, with something stupid, like with a bitch slap, and or maybe a shove or something, you know, rather minor, and then it can evolve into something really severe, and this is how these women end up becoming severely abused and end up in the hospital.
Ellis Wick, I'd like to ask you what people listening in might be able to do. You did mention at the top of our interview that there are certain things you need a board of directors, as I understand it. If anybody has an interest in helping you in any way, what can they do?
Right now, I am looking for a board of directors. Maybe there's a battered man in the audience who'd be interested.
How can they contact you, by the way?
Would I be able to do this through the radio show, and it could be directed towards me?
We could have people call into our radio show, and they'll inform us, and I can have, in other words, you would rather not have either your email or your phone number right now. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm looking for people to help me with things like web design, informational technology, fundraising, legal matters, like an attorney, public relations, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because you're at a startup role. So what we're going to do is suggest that they go to the FreedomWorks website. There is a way of contact, like you did. There is a way of going to our FreedomWorks website, and I will give them the address. And you can email us through the FreedomWorks website, and we will get the information to Ella Zwick. Now go to ourfreedomworks.com and look for the email service there. Just send an email, say, you know, I think I heard Ella Zwick, Z-W-I-C-K, on your show, and would like to be in contact with her, and we'll put them in contact with you, Ella. How's that sound?
Yes, thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I wish you the very best. I think it's a very noble cause. I really do. And I'd like to keep abreast with you of how it's going.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I so greatly appreciate it.
Oh, you're so very welcome. It's such a noble cause, worthwhile.
Thank you.
Okay, dear.
Take care. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Ella Zwick. She sounds like a nice woman. Really does. All right, we're going to take our break. We got a lot going on. Donald Trump telling viewers at the South Carolina town hall, hey, I'll debate Joe Biden anytime. And by the way, bring on any kind of a moderate. I don't care if it's a liberal or a conservative. You know what I mean?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. Hey, this just crossed the wire. Donald Trump, now, he did a town hall in Greenville, South Carolina last night. I believe it was on Fox News with Laura Ingraham. I just read here that he has revealed a short list of vice president candidates. Did you hear about this one, Ed? It includes Ron DeSantis. Tim Scott.
Okay.
Our buddy Vivek Ramaswamy is on there. How about Kristi Noem from South Dakota? Tulsi Gabbard. She used to be a Democrat. I don't know if she's turned Republican or if she's an independent, although I do see her. You know that she served in the military.
Yeah.
She's from Hawaii. She might be a good candidate.
When they brought up Ron DeSantis, he didn't say no. He just kind of had a stone face. The other ones, he kind of nodded his head yes.
Oh.
He was very, very...
You mean he did not mention these?
No, he didn't say it. No.
Well, it says here he revealed his short list. That's what
Laura Ingraham did it. She said the list could include... Ron DeSantis was first, and he just kind of looked at her.
Oh, this is a misleading headline.
And then Vivek said something, and then he shook his head yes. That could be it.
Got it.
She said Vivek, and...
Well, he is the commanding front runner right now, Trump is, for the Republican race. And he is reiterating his call for good old Joe Biden when he's not stumbling onto an airplane to debate him this year. And asked if he'll challenge the president to a debate, he said, I'll do it right now. I'll challenge him right now. he said, I'll take anybody as far as the debate moderator.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't think he got a phone call from Joe Biden, but you know who might know if he got one? The Master Barber might know if he got a phone call. Andrew, the Master Barber, joins us. Andrew, did you watch any of the town hall?
Of course, Paul. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you did? Okay. Tell me about it. What was your impression?
Trump is going all the way, brother. I mean, the guy has got it so together. Even everything he's going through, okay, his mind is still focused on winning this election and saving this country. There's no question about it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think, what's her name there? Nikki Haley needs to just bow out. But, you know, she's getting money from the Democrats and from Soros to keep this going. She should be ashamed of herself.
Speaking of Nikki Haley, was it not last night, but the night before last, she was on her own town hall, I think, again, on Fox News, and she said for sure she was going to continue no matter what happens Saturday in South Carolina.
When you're spending somebody else's money, it's okay.
Yes.
It's that simple. I mean, somebody gives me $100,000, I'll go buy a new Corvette. If I got to go buy it myself, it's not happening.
You know, if they want to give her so much money, maybe she should jump over to the other ticket.
I think she's already there, brother.
Maybe she will be. Who knows?
She's got a lot of moderate support. There's no question about that. None. So I cannot believe the energy of Donald Trump. I just knowing what he's doing and going through with all these trials.
Yeah.
And he's running for president at the same time.
I think.
And the guy's 77 years old. My God. Where does he get this energy? Does he have some magic potion?
I think the best question and answer of the night was the last one, and the woman came up and said, how do we know that you're not going this next 4 years if you're elected? It's not all going to be about your revenge of who put you, you know, through hell.
That was great.
And he said, my revenge will be that we succeed.
That's right.
That's a perfect answer.
It was unbelievable.
That this country succeeds.
I bet he got some applause.
Oh, all kinds. You know what they should have instead of a debate? They should have a televised cognitive test between the two the same time.
I know that Joe Biden can't wait for that.
Joe Biden ain't going to wait for nothing, okay? The guy is a fool. Actually, I can't even call him that because he can't even stand trial because he doesn't know what he's doing. So I can't call him a fool because he doesn't know what he's doing, but I think I got to call Eric Holder and Barack Obama fools because they're the ones coaxing this guy.
If it is indeed Biden versus Trump, and I still wonder if Biden's going to make it to November, I'm beginning to think, we were just talking earlier, Andrew, Biden had another stumble on the airplane. So we are getting together to fund a chairlift. That will be placed. You know what I mean.
You know what?
We'll put a GoFundMe on it. GoFundMe for a chairlift for Joe Biden. That's a good idea.
You know how you could eliminate that whole stair things? You just have Jill walk him up, or have an official walk him up, like they're conversing. Make it look like they're talking on the way up the stairs, and he can lean on him or whatever he needs to do.
She's pretty strong.
He can hold his hand and the other hand on the handrail.
Well, I don't know. She's pretty strong. Can't she carry him up?
Yeah. But, you know, Paul, let's face it. Everything that's going on over here, all these trials, and then you got that the Kikuchi Rogan over there with his spines and this and that. You know what I would do if I was Donald Trump?
What?
I think I would get one of those hotels, and I'd say, you know what, guys? I'm going to let the federal government put these migrants in one of my hotels and give me $7,000 a month apiece.
It would be a way to help his campaign to pay off all of
these. That's what I would do. Did you hear what these morons in New York are doing now? They want to give 40,000 government jobs in New York to the illegal immigrants.
Unbelievable.
Kathy Hochul announced that this morning. Can you imagine? Now, what's that going to do to the people in New York for jobs? These people are going to work for minimum wage.
Yeah. Speaking about states and what they're going through and the cost, California's budget crisis projected to expand more than thought and could hit a record deficit of, get this, in California, a record deficit of $73 billion with a B. And a lot has to do with what they're shelling out for all of the illegal migration into California.
Let me ask you one question. At what point would they consider a state bankrupt?
I know.
They have no money.
Yeah, you're right.
Where is this coming from? At what point do they consider a state bankrupt? I'd like to know. Yeah. I mean, our country is bankrupt, let's face it.
No question.
And they still want to give money to the Ukraine? These rhino Republicans and Democrats are pushing the Speaker of the House. You better do something. We're going to make sure you get out of your job.
Yeah.
Why do we have to support? You know what I'd be telling Ukraine? You know what, guys? You're in Europe. Let Europe take care of you. We got our own problems over here. Yeah. Trump is right. With the UN, they don't stand up for nothing.
Well, he wouldn't really, I know he wouldn't really renege on the agreement that he has with all of those countries.
Right. Well, as long as they start putting up the money, which
yeah,
they still haven't.
I think that would scare them into putting up the money. By the way, I'm just getting back to California for a second. You know, California has had its first ever population decline starting back in 2020, and the most popular places that ex-Californians are heading to are Texas first, then comes Arizona, which is close by, that's not a surprise, then comes Florida, and then comes the state of Washington. So whatever Gavin Newsom, the governor of that state, is doing, it ain't working. Somebody should tap him on the shoulder.
Well, if the people in California are moving to Washington, what's the difference between the two states? One is more liberal than the other.
Well, it's it's only on the West Coast, the Seattle-Tacoma area, where it's liberal. If you go east into Washington, it's very conservative. It's more like Idaho. More like Idaho. Of course, it doesn't have as many people. That's true.
Apparently, though, because it always goes Democrat, they must be more popular.
That's exactly. Seattle-Tacoma's got the base of the population going on right there. Speaking about an export, I got to tell you this, Andrew, and I want to get your opinion on it. You come from New York. The Remington Gun Factory, you know that's been a mainstay in New York. You know it's ready now to shutter its doors, and it's going to move to Georgia. They've been 200 years in New York. 200 years.
But you know what, Paul? It doesn't matter to the people in New York or the politicians, because if they don't follow their agenda, they could care less. You know, New York has got to be a bankrupt state by now, too.
And especially with that ruling that went against Trump by that crazed judge, it's going to scare anybody that wants to do investment in New York, I would think, when they hear
no.
that. If you dare make a mistake in the valuation of your assets for real estate purposes and borrowing purposes, we're going to haul you into court.
Well, Paul, Kathy Hochul took care of it with her video the other day, saying, you businesses don't have to worry about nothing. This was personal against Trump.
It's only Trump.
And she come right out and said it.
I still want to know where the fine money is going to.
Erodogen is going to buy a new Corvette.
We discussed it on Wednesday, and I swear Wednesday night, either they were listening to the show on Fox or whatever, they brought up the same question. Where is the fine money going to?
Yeah.
And neither one of them had an answer. Where does it go?
If they
can't find a place, I will give them my bank routing number.
Does it go?
Letita James saying, if you don't pay us in 30 days, we're taking over your buildings. We're going to seize them. Where does this woman come from?
It's just not going to hold up under appeal. It's going to be the same thing as Fat Fanny Willis down in Georgia. That's going to go the way of the dodo bird, too.
It should be gone. They should just say this is already dropped, okay? They shouldn't be playing around. They should put Fatty Willis in handcuffs and her boyfriend.
Now, that would be something. I bet they'd want to be handcuffed together, however.
No, they're not an item anymore.
Oh, they're not. They're not an item.
Oh no, she threw him under the bus.
Oh, really?
Right at the end. She said he's the type. All of a sudden, now he's the type of man that thinks you only need a woman if you need someone to fix you a sandwich.
That's right.
That's exactly what she said.
Well, isn't that the case? No, I'm kidding.
I'm sure he fixed a few sandwiches for her.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, you know, the trips to Aruba and all that stuff, now it's now he's not good for her.
I see.
With me, it's a pot of sauce, not a sandwich.
There you go.
You got to have the meatballs and the sausage.
Wow. That's,
you know, it's a little tougher than a sandwich, so yeah, I need a stronger woman to make that.
You are a card, Andrew.
And well, Paul, you know, I just state the facts as I see them, and my opinion is how I really believe it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I mean, if I believe something, I say the truth.
So, do you have, since we last asked you this question, I've probably asked you this a lot of times, do you have any further hunch, I guess would the word be, on who might be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate?
You know, Paul, there's a lot of things going on because, you know, last night, on the way home from the shop yesterday, I heard on the news that Ron DeSantis was in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they said that he was putting the coals in the engine to get the Trump train over the mountain.
Wow.
That's what they say on the news. Now, when I talked to the father, he just said he's in South Carolina. That's all he heard.
Well, there's got to be a reason he'd be in South Carolina because he's no longer running for president. So what would be the other reason? It's not going to be a coincidence.
No, as far as I'm concerned, it's like they said on the radio. He's putting the coals in the Trump train. And, you know, again, politics is politics. You know, they hate each other in the primary stage when they're talking during the debates. They hate each other, this and that. And after it's over with, you know, they keep going on politics as usual.
Yeah,
now,
with
Nikki Haley, that's another story.
Yeah,
I said, she needs to go. She's wasting money. But again, it's not her money. She's got a dream. It's not going to happen. I think she needs to go back and keep making her husband sandwiches.
He disqualified her a long time ago, he said. The other thing that he brought up I thought was interesting when it came to the vice president and who it might be, just before that, that he was lagging in women that are, 35 to 55 or whatever, and brought up a woman vice president, and he said, one thing I've learned that once you're on the ticket, nobody cares about who the vice president is.
Yeah, they...
No, this is true, but he did say if anything was to happen, he wanted to make sure that vice president was going to be the right president.
And that's why I don't think it's going to be any of the above that we're looking at, to tell you the truth.
No kidding?
I don't think
so. Okay, do you have an idea, Ed, who it might be?
I don't. Is it going to be
Michelle Obama?
Yeah, right. Is it going to be somebody from that pool? And now you bring up DeSantis? I don't.
So you don't think it's going to be Tim Scott or Kristi Noem or Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, I was saying women. I was thinking the women pool. I don't think it's going to be from the women pool.
Oh, you think it's going to be a man?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I see. So, what do you think about Ramaswamy or Tim?
I don't think it's Ramaswamy.
I mean, Tim Scott.
I would give Ramaswamy whatever he wants to be my press secretary because he would shut down the media in about 30 seconds.
You know, he would actually draw a lot of viewers. As a press secretary, in my opinion.
But I got Ramaswamy down as the press secretary.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
But then
that's what I'm saying, and you know what? I'm still thinking Ron might be in this ballpark.
And I'm going to just say that when Trump said if something were to happen, I would want somebody that could keep the train going or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we're talking with the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, who happens to be a good friend, I mean a very good friend, of Ron DeSantis Sr., who lives in Dunedin, and is a wonderful man. I've had the pleasure of spending time with him as well. Andrew, it is always a pleasure, and I'm going to be seeing you in a few minutes.
You got it, buddy.
And thank you, as always, for calling in. Keep up your patriotism.
You got it, my friend. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye. The master barber himself. Okay. Going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 states that Gen Zers are moving to.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the premier, stupendous Tan Talk Radio Network, and we are always delighted when you find time to listen to us, but we know you're busy, and thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our shows, any of them, anytime your little heart desires. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. It's at the top. And Ed's got all the shows. When you open up there, you'll see the most recent show at the top with the guest and the topic with the guest. And our gold standard and top tens will be there as well. You'll know what the top 10 subject will be. OurFreedomWorks.com. We got a couple of minutes before our top 10, Ed. A friend of mine posted this, I think, very interesting comment from a gentleman by the name of Sean Davis. Now, Sean Davis is a conservative political commentator. You can find him on, he has an X, or what formerly was a Twitter page. And I think he makes a lot of sense with this. I'm going to read this little piece. It's not very long, but listen to what he's implying, I guess you might say. He says, the American government would never imprison an individual whose life and knowledge suddenly became a huge liability to the regime. And it would definitely never kill him in prison, wipe the video cameras that recorded his death, and then claim he committed suicide. And the American government would certainly never try to ban its chief political opponent from the ballot or try to bankrupt him with frivolous lawsuits or attempt to imprison him to prevent him from winning an election. And the American government would never tap attorneys appointed by the president's handpicked lawyers to absolve the president of a whole host of crimes committed by the president and his family. On top of that, the American government would never imprison thousands of political dissidents for protesting against the regime's history of rigging elections or refer to them as a bunch of filthy kulak wrecker insurrectionists. And you better believe the American government would never ally with corrupt oligarchs who owe their fortunes to monopolies protected by the government to censor the government's political opponents, to prevent them from talking about the corruption of the family running the government. He says that would never happen in America. That only happens in other countries. America's government would never do anything like that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because real quickly, I've been saying that for the last week or so since the Russian guy, the opposition of Vladimir Putin died in prison all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I'm saying the same thing. Oh, look, we'd never do something like that. And the Communist News Network is saying, that's apples and oranges for crying out loud. No, it's not. It's oranges and it's tangerines. It's the same family. Because if you look, they're trying to keep him off the ticket now. They're going to try to put him in jail. And they're telling us who we can and cannot vote for.
And there's still some of those people that invaded the Capitol that are still in prison, aren't there?
Yes.
That's kind of scary.
Is that one guy still in the jail here?
May have to check on it, but I think there's some of those people that were involved one way or the other in the storming of the Capitol that are still in jail.
And anybody that wants to debate me on that, I am available.
Okay. Very good, my friend. It's time for our top 10. This is from Zillow. It's an analysis of the top 10 states that Gen Zers are going to. By the way, Gen Zers are those people born between 1996 and 2004. And they wanted to make sure that they did not capture, you know, college students because they might make a temporary move. So they exclude college students. But here we go. Top 10 states the Gen Zers are moving to. Number 10, Arizona. A net migration in 2022 is the latest year they checked this. A net migration of 21,418 Gen Zers. Number 9, Georgia, 24,788. Number 8, Illinois, 25,890. Number 7, Virginia, 26,418. Number 6, Colorado, I hope you bring your skis, 39,797. Number 5, Washington State, 33,000. What is this? Well, it said net migration, 33,534. That's less than Colorado, but who knows? Number 4, North Carolina was 33,690. Number 3. Number 3 is our state, Ed. Florida, I'm not surprised, 41,394. Number 2, the Golden State. I know they got a lot of people leaving, but they still have some people getting in there. 43,913. So, Ed, would you like to harbor a guess as to what state has the most Gen Zers moving into it?
Let's go with Texas.
You are correct. Number 1 is Texas. 76,805. That's quite a bit more than any other state. Texas is really moving along. It really is. So we're going to do, by the way, I also found from Zillow, they're the ones that did the analysis. We're going to do down the road the top 10 states for all out-of-state movers. And I find that one to be kind of interesting as well. You know, net migration. So that is the way it goes. We thank you so very much for being with us. We'll be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, be careful out there. And remember, freedom works.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke home. You say
if you ain't got no money, take your broke home.
B-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S, yeah. G-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Steve Kathan. The White House is pushing for more information from Moscow over the latest detention in Russia. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab reports this time it's a dual citizen.
An amateur ballerina and recent U.S. citizen, Ksenia Karolina, is now a prisoner in Russia on suspicion of treason and fundraising for Ukraine's army. She was also accused of attending pro-Ukraine rallies in the U.S. Another American, Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, learned on Tuesday a Moscow court rejected his appeal against his detention.